Man, thanks so much for praying, both of you, and super excited about all the stuff we have coming up. I hope you're all doing well tonight. I'm going to share my screen in a second here for the lesson, but I'm definitely happy and excited to be able to be speaking. But man, this past Sunday was our first service, and I thought it was super special, totally exceeded my expectations, which are already high, but God totally showed up, and I hope you were all inspired and encouraged by that time together. I'm going to start this here. Cool. Something I thought would be cool to do at the start of this lesson here tonight is just to take, a few minutes and have a few of you share what were some of your favorite inaugural service moments. You know, maybe it was something about fellowshipping together, the communion or the worship, or something you got from the sermon, or, something else. I know we had a few people writing about it in the GroupMe and stuff like that, but I thought it'd be cool just to hear from a few of you tonight. What were some of the highlights for you, or what was a highlight for you? Just in a few words, is there anybody that wants to share?
Yes, I do. Hi, guys. LOL. So I thought the lesson was absolutely impactful. Like, I enjoyed every part of it. It was so convicting. It was really deep. I love the fellowship, of course. It was so good to see everyone in person again. I thought it was so nice. Like, I love fashion. So, like, when I saw everyone dress up for church and I saw people in their church shoes, I was like, yes, you guys look so great. So it was just really nice to see everyone, like, getting together. And it was just so nice how, like, it was just like a group of us. We're all like, it was just so diverse. It was just really nice. I enjoyed every part of it. That's it.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Jada. Anybody else?
I can share.
Go for it, Grace.
So I just really enjoyed like being together and seeing the presence of God and just seeing all of us want to glorify God that we're here for the same reasons and really just uplifting each other. I just really enjoy being together again.
Totally. Same. Let's get two or three more people to share what you loved about Sunday.
I can share.
Go for it, Vanessa. Okay, great.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. I think, okay, good. My favorite moment of the service from last Sunday was just seeing new people. People who were coming from California or Virginia, like to just, for that to be our first service and to have people from all over the country come and meet together in, the studio was just amazing.
Amen. No, that was very cool. And it's cool. We have new freshmen coming in from all over the place and new people coming out. It's exciting. Sabrina's favorite part was winning some free merch. Cool. Well, let's get one more person. One more person want to share something you loved about Sunday?
All right. I'd like to share.
Go for it.
My favorite part was the message. The message in general and the way you preached, it was really powerful and inspiring to me.
Amen. Thank you, Anthony. That's super encouraging. Cool. Well, we're never going to have an inaugural service again. So I wanted to milk it a little just to hear, what was exciting and to reflect on that. It was something we've been looking forward to for a long time. But like Mark said, tonight I'm going to be talking about being engaged. Let me get this set up. There we go. Being engaged during meetings of the body and really being engaged in your devotion to the body. And so the title of the lesson tonight is Engaging Devotion, right? We want to be devoted, but we don't want to just be devoted. We want to be engaged. We're really connected and focused and giving our hearts, and we're not just like a body that's there, right? And so really what I'm going to try to cover tonight is the importance of devotion to meetings of the body, times that the church and the campus ministry comes together. But also when we're together, how to really be engaged during those times together. And so I hope this will be helpful for you tonight. This is always one of those topics that it's funny to preach at a meeting of the body because you need to be devoted to the body to be there to hear the lesson about it. So You guys are here already. You're hearing this. You're already doing great. So I was really inspired Sunday to see that pretty much every single person in our campus ministry was there. There was only one or two people missing, and we you know, blew it out with everybody being there. And that's what we want, is to really be devoted, but it was also everybody was engaged. And I think that's super important. And so we're going to be talking tonight about engaging devotion. And part of why we're talking about this is, and this, you know, I'm going to try to go a little quicker through the front half of this so I can slow down a little for the second part. It's going to be a little bit more teaching, but just trying to cover this topic. But part of why we're talking about this tonight is because we've been in this COVID campus ministry, COVID church, pandemic, you know, for a year and a half. And, you know, our devotion to the body, we maybe were in a groove with it, but we got out of that groove, or we're not used to traveling, we're not used to, you know, the schedule, or we're figuring things out. And so I wanted to make sure that as we go back to meeting in person regularly and a more full campus ministry, a more full disciple schedule, that we have the right heart and the right mindset about it, that we weren't coming back to all of that just out of tradition or just out of ritual, but that we really had the right heart and the right mindset as we're back to meeting together more regularly and stuff. And so I just have a few points here to go through, and then some very practical things, but hope this will be helpful for you all tonight. It's always great reminders for me. And this first, you know, little point here is that the church is a sacred assembly, right? You might have had assemblies in school growing up. I loved having assemblies. Getting out of class for any reason was good enough for me, right? And your class is an assembly, right, that you're in with school right now. An assembly is any assembling of people for some reason, right? And so, you know, people go on Facebook and come up with the weirdest events, and then people assemble, you know, gather together for those events. And it might be over food, it might be over bikes or cars, it might be over, you know, some show or movie or whatever it is. But what we need to understand is that when the church comes together, it's sacred. It is a spiritual assembly. It's not like a class or, you know, people coming together at a restaurant for food. There's something spiritual, there's something sacred about the church. It has a divine nature because the church is Jesus's body. And so, you know, the Greek word for church is ekklesia. And this word was not a religious word. It just meant a set apart group or an assembly of people. And so Jesus had his ekklesia, Jesus's church, Jesus's group. And Jesus's church were the disciples. And so when people became disciples, they obviously became part of Jesus's ecclesia, his assembly, his group. And, you know, there's different passages that show us to view the church spiritually. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 says, "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." The idea is that we see things more spiritually instead of worldly. And that's true for everybody. That's true for everything. But that also needs to be true of the church, that we don't view the church as just another gathering of people, but that we see it as not something worldly, but as something spiritual. This is a spiritual gathering. And I think it's easy to see that with other things like prayer. When you pray, you know, physically, you just look like somebody sitting there talking to yourself, but you believe that there's more going on spiritually than what you can see. You believe that your prayers are reaching God on his throne in heaven, and he's hearing them and he's answering them. You know, when somebody's baptized, really, it's just somebody going underwater, but we believe that in the spiritual world, there's something going on that we can't see. That person is being united with Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. Their sin is being forgiven. The Holy Spirit is going into them. And so we can't see any of that stuff, but if we put on our spiritual glasses, we can see it. We can know that that's what's happening. And so we need on those spiritual glasses when we look at the gathering of the church, that it's not just a regular, you know, assembly of people. It's a sacred assembly. It's something spiritual that's going on. Ephesians 3 verse 10 says, God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. And so there's something crazy spiritual going on with the church that we can't see. God is using the church to show his wisdom to angels, to Satan, to demons, to all sorts of other rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms we know nothing about, right? But God is using his church in the spiritual realm. And so that's kind of a first point here about why we should be devoted to the body, and the mindset to have is, wow, the church is a sacred assembly. Secondly, the church is really important. It should be really important to us. It's really important to God. It's really important to Jesus. And therefore, it just is really important. Why is it really important? Colossians 1 verse 8 says that he, being Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. How important is Jesus, right? Immeasurably. And the Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. And so the church is really important because it's part of Jesus. It's attached to him. Jesus is part of it. Of all of the organizations, of all of the causes, of all of the, you know, things Jesus could have chosen to be the head of, he chose to be the head of the church. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, it even tells husbands to love your wives as Christ loves the church. The highest bar of love that we could be given here really is the way Jesus loves the church. So the church is really important because it's Jesus's body. And in Matthew chapter 25, verses 40 and 45, Jesus says, whatever you have done for them, you have done for me. And he says it twice, once in the context of doing something good, and once in the context of not doing something good. And he's talking about his disciples and how his disciples treat his other disciples, the church. And so Jesus is saying, whatever you do or don't do for my other disciples, you did or you didn't do for me. And so Jesus is intimately connected with his church, and that makes it really important as well. You know, if we turn our back on the church, we've turned our back on Jesus. If we're not loving to the church, we're not being loving to Jesus, right? If we serve the church, we're serving Jesus. If we give our heart to the church, we're giving our heart to Jesus. And, you know, Jesus says, whatever you've done for them, you have done for me. We need to remember the church is the disciples. That's what the church is. The church is not the building we meet in, not the service we have on Sundays, although we call that church. The church is each other in the body of Christ. You know, just to give you an idea of how important the church is, just look at some of the other terms that are used for the church, right? Things like Jesus's body, that's important. God's family, God's household, that's important. Jesus's bride, right? It's also called the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Spirit. Those are really important things. And so you need to ask yourself, do you love Jesus? Well, I hope the answer is yes, but then you also need to ask, well, then do you love his church? If you love Jesus, you should love his church. You know, are you committed to Jesus? Are you devoted to Jesus? If the answer is yes, then the answer should also be yes, that you're devoted, you're committed to his church. You cannot separate Jesus and his church. He didn't separate himself. We can't separate either. Jesus is the head of his body, the church. Another quick point here is that all are essential, right? During the pandemic, we know there's been essential workers and non-essential workers. Well, the Bible teaches us that every disciple is an essential part of the body. Every disciple is a needed, irreplaceable part of the body. 1 Corinthians 12 says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need. Did I repeat that? Yeah, I did. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You know, and I've always loved in Acts chapter 2 where it says they enjoyed the favor of all the people. Every person was favored. Every person was enjoyed and valued in the body of Christ. And so, you know, this passage is making it very clear that we can't look at another disciple and have a mindset of like, well, I don't really need you, or to look at ourselves and say, well, I'm not really an important part of the body here. I'm not essential, right? That Jesus purposefully put you in the body. God arranged every part just as he wanted them to be. You're exactly where in the body God wants you to be. And you have a role there. You're needed there. The eye sees, the hand grabs, or whatever it does, holds, right? Does so many things. Whatever part you are needed. You are essential. And so that goes both ways. You need to know you're needed, and you need to know that you need others. And it goes both ways with that. And so all are essential. Sorry, this stopped working. Cool. And so I'm talking about devotion a little bit here. You know, I think it's important that we're devoted from a place of love and loyalty and not legalism, right? We're not devoted to the body because we have to be, because we're supposed to be. Although, you know, to be doing well spiritually, yes, we do have to be, and we are supposed to be. But the idea is for us to be devoted to the body, devoted to the church, from a place of love and a place of loyalty. Love for Jesus and love for his body. Loyalty to Jesus and also loyalty to our spiritual family. In John chapter 21, Jesus is reinstating Peter. And he says to him, you know, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus is very concerned with, do we love him? Do we love him more than anything else? Right? Just like he was asking Peter here. And hopefully our answer is a convicted yes. I love you. I'm loyal to you. Right? But Jesus's response every time was, well, if you love me, then take care of my people. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Right? Talking about his flock, the disciples, the church. And, you know, Peter was the one to preach the sermon the first day. And Peter lived a life of devotion to Jesus and devotion to his church. He gave his life for it. He was eventually crucified upside down even. That was not done out of legalism. That was done out of deep love and deep loyalty. And so we should be devoted, not out of legalisticness, out of, well, I have to be there, but we should be devoted out of a love for God and a love for his people. We should be devoted out of a loyalty to God and a loyalty to our spiritual family, to his people. And so that's where our devotion should come from. And so that's really important. And I will also say with devotion is, you know, this other quick point here is that your devotion is tied to your spiritual health. And you might not realize that. You might not think that. You know, we can sometimes think overly independently about our Christianity, and we do need our own walk with God, our own convictions, you know, to make our own decisions, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But the Bible is also very clear that our spiritual health is also tied to our connection with the rest of the body. Your devotion influences your spiritual health. It's not the only influence, but it is a major influence. Listen to Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 26. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God." You know, this is a really strong passage, verse 26 and 27, and kind of makes it clear here that once we come into the light, we can end up back in the dark and under God's wrath again if we deliberately keep on sinning. And this passage is right after this call for us to really be in each other's lives, to be devoted to meeting together, to not just showing up, but to being engaged, where we're spurring one another on, we're encouraging one another, we're helping each other be our best for God, we're engaged, but we're in the habit of meeting together versus in the habit of not meeting together. And that's the thing, is we're all going to miss something sometimes, but we want to make sure that's the exception and not the pattern. That we have a deep conviction that, man, I need to be with the body. This is important to my spiritual health. The same way I know I need to pray, right? If you go weeks without prayer, you'd know, well, something's wrong spiritually. If you go weeks without reading your Bible, a red flag should go off. Man, I'm getting disconnected from God, right? The same is true with devotion from the body. If you go a week, weeks, 2 weeks without being connected to the body, a red flag should go off. I'm not doing well spiritually. I'm heading in a disconnected place. And so the scriptures tie together these concepts. We need the body. We need our relationships. We want to make sure we're in the habit or the pattern of being together versus not being together. So when I think about being devoted, we want to be there for God, right? That God is a main reason we're devoted to the body. We're there to worship God, to please God, to be with God, to learn from him, and to serve him. But we also want to be there for others, right? That we're there to encourage others, to support others, to befriend others, to invite others there. And so that's the second main reason to be devoted. And a third reason is to be there for yourself, because you need to be encouraged. You need to learn. You need to grow. And you need to be connected to the body. So be there for God, be there for others, and be there for yourself. I did want to address some challenges to being devoted. I know, you know, if we're not devoted or having a hard time being devoted, there could be different reasons for that. I think, you know, one reason is viewing devotion to the body or meetings of the body as tradition versus from a place of biblical conviction. You know, and that's so important that we view midweek or Friday nights or church on Sunday, not as just church culture, campus tradition, right? Like, yeah, we have Devo, we have midweek, we have church, but to really have a biblical conviction behind why we're meeting together and to realize that we're not meeting together just because we chose to or want to, but we're meeting together because the Bible directs us to do that. So we need to see that meetings of the body are not church tradition, they're biblical convictions. And so if part of why maybe you struggle with devotion is because you think, well, it's just tradition to go to Devo on Friday, then what you really need to do is study out, well, are there biblical reasons to be together? And I do want to touch on some of them in a little bit. You know, a second reason people could be challenged with devotion is misprioritizing, right? That school or work or something else could come before meetings of the body. We try really hard to schedule this stuff to be rhythmic, right? Every Wednesday, every Friday, every Sunday, same time, whatever, so that we can prioritize those things and be able to work out school and work schedule around those things. And, you know, if work is more important to you than devotion to the body, if school is, then that's what's going to come first. And so we need to make sure our priorities are that our spiritual health and connection to the body, you know, come before those other things, although those other things are incredibly important. You know, another thing is discipline or poor planning. Maybe you really want to be there. It is important to you, but you don't ask for a ride until last minute, or, you know, you don't think about the route you need to take to get there. And then it's too late and you're like, oh, there's no point now. Or you feel like it's too far. And so you're just kind of lazy and don't feel like traveling there. You know, you should, you know, it's important. You want to be there, but you just don't feel like it. And, you know, so discipline can be another thing. And if that's a challenge for you, that's something to really focus on. You know, and then there's some other things here like self-focused. I'm too tired or I don't like that activity. You know, maybe we're doing something on a Friday night you don't like, or you're like, oh, that's not my type of thing. And so then you're viewing it more as what you like versus what it's really about, which is being connected with Jesus and being connected with your spiritual family. You know, thinking wrong, that's super ambiguous, but you know, I think it's just wrong thinking, like what I was talking about, like, well, it's just a party, or, you know, do I need to go? Do I have to go? And just thinking the wrong way about it, thinking about it more in a worldly sense than, well, would Jesus want me to be there? What will I miss out on by not going? Does the Bible call me to be devoted? And just thinking more spiritually instead of thinking wrong about meetings of the body. Another obvious thing is a conflict of needs. You know, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your class. And those are things maybe you just need to figure out. You know, I've been really encouraged by people like Garnett, who had an incredible opportunity to have an internship with Nickelodeon. And yet it conflicted with midweek because it was an LA internship on Zoom and or virtual internship. And they're, you know, 3 hours behind. And so she had to pick, well, am I devoted to midweek or do I do this great internship? And I was super encouraged by Garnett and her convictions to even ask. Some people wouldn't even ask, ask God, ask themselves. They would just take it. You know, but she had a conviction to figure this out. She got advice about it. She prayed about it. And she was able to work out being part of the LA campus's midweeks and still being able to do the internship. But that's the kind of convictions we need to have. And when conflicts come up, we want to try to figure those things out. And I will say there's going to be exceptions. You know, there's that one class that's only Wednesday nights. You need it to graduate. It's your senior year. You know, you got to take it. Look, stuff happens. There's emergencies, but we want to make sure that emergencies are really emergencies, that we're not, you know, missing stuff because I just would rather stay home tonight, you know. But if that's where your heart is at, then that's something to address and to figure out, because it is a heart issue, right? The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so if your heart isn't really to be with the body, then that should be a yellow flag of like, well, let me figure out, well, why is my heart there? And what can I, how can I go to God and go to the scriptures and get my heart there? And so that might be something for you to reflect on tonight. How does your heart and your devotion to Jesus's body line up with Jesus's devotion and Jesus's heart? And so, you know, one of my favorite passages is Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. I'm not going to read it right now, but this is a passage, honestly, we should all really have memorized. This is a blueprint and a description of the first century church. And this is really what we're trying to build and what we're trying to become. But the first three words are, they devoted themselves. And that's so important, is I can't devote you, right? And we're not going to do that. I'm not going to, you know, force you. Nobody's going to force you to be devoted to the body. The goal is for you to have a conviction that, hey, I'm devoted to Jesus. I devote myself to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to coming together for communion, to pray, and right. And we see that the church grew and was incredible because people were devoting themselves. And that's really the heart that we want to have. And so, you know, this is kind of what we're trying to build. And the stuff we plan, like Friday nights, midweeks, Bible talks, church on Sunday, all of that is our attempt at building what we see in this and other passages. So I want to talk about the different meetings of the body that we have a little bit and how to be engaged at them. Obviously, it starts with being devoted. You got to be there. So there's no point talking about being engaged at meetings of the body if you're not even there. So you got to start with devotion. Okay, I'm devoted to the body. Wednesday comes around, Fridays come around, Sundays come around. You can count on me to be there unless it's an emergency or an exception. I'm there. Count on me to be there. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm with you, church, family, heart, and soul. And so now that you're devoted, you want to be engaged. You want to really engage while you're there. The Bible calls us, Colossians 3, to set our hearts and our minds spiritually, to not, you know, be focused on worldly things or earthly things, but to have a heart and a mind that's set spiritually. And so before you come to church Sunday or midweek or Friday or Bible talk or discipling time, whatever it is, you're coming together as the body. You want to set your heart and set your mind. And to me, that means be engaged, be focused, be present, make it a priority, and really give your heart and give your mind and give your time and your attention. You're there, be there. And I'd say the same is true for anything else. You're in a conversation, focus on that person. You're in class, learn what the teacher's teaching, take notes. You're at a meeting of the body, give your heart, give your mind, make the most of the opportunity. You know, so let's kind of break down some of the meetings of the body here. Hope you guys are with me. Can't see any of you, can't hear any of you, but I'm just going to finish this lesson and hope it's helping somebody. So, you know, just to kind of break down the different meetings of the body. Sunday, this is kind of like our crescendo assembly of the church coming together. This is something the first century church did. You know, the early church met on the first day of the week is when they all came together. Why did they meet the first day of the week? Because that was the day Jesus rose from the dead. In Mark chapter 16, verse 9, it says it was the first day of the week that Jesus resurrected, which is Sunday, and that became the Lord's day. And so the early church met on the Lord's day, which is the first day of the week, Sunday, was when they came together to break bread, to learn from the Bible, to pray together. And whatever else, you know, they did together. And proof of that is in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. So what are some of the things we see in the Bible and that we do together? And how do we be engaged with that on Sundays? Well, one of the things they did that we do is singing, right? And this is about singing to God, singing to each other. You know, Psalm 32 talks about singing, you know, singing to God, about praising God. And Ephesians chapter 5 talks about singing with your heart to God and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to each other. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, talking about meetings of the body, it says we will sing with our spirit, but we will also sing with our mind. And so singing together is not about how good you sound. It's something God has called us to do that brings him joy and that really helps each other spiritually. And so when we sing on Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever we sing, we want to view that as something that we engage with, that we're not thinking about something else. We're not talking to somebody. We're not looking at our phones. We're not, you know, mindlessly going through the words, but we're really singing with our minds and with our hearts. And we're focused on the words. We're singing to God. We're singing to each other. We're really worshiping God. We're really trying to sing to one another, depending on the song. But that the words we're singing, we're not just offering mindless lip service up to God, but we're really giving God our heart. And we're singing with our minds. And really singing wholeheartedly to God is something that can even help us spiritually, that we're meditating on the words that we're singing. And it becomes part of us and part of the way that we live. So when we sing together Sunday, let's really give God our heart, give God our minds, and really sing enthusiastically. Let's sing wholeheartedly. Let's not care how we sound. I know God is pleased with our hearts when we sing. But let's all focus also on the words that we're singing and growing together from them as well. Another thing we do when we come together is pray. We see in Acts 1:14, the early church praying together. Acts 2:42, they were devoted to prayer. 1 Corinthians 14, it says to pray with the spirit, but also to pray with our mind. You know, there's a verse even where Jesus says where two or more of you agree on anything and ask for it in prayer, that he'll answer it or he'll hear that. And so there's something powerful and important about us praying together. We have our own personal prayer times with God every day. But then when we come together, we want to pray together. And that when we're praying, we're focused on, hey, we're all lifting up this prayer to God together. And so when we pray together, let's really be engaged with that. And if you lead a prayer, if you're the one doing the prayer, know that you're not just praying for yourself, but you're kind of going to God with and for all of us together and praying for us. That's a powerful thing to get to do. And so praying together is something really important to be engaged with. Another thing is giving contribution, right? God has given generously to us. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says to give God the first fruits of our crops. So if you have a job, if you have some source of income, the Bible teaches to give of that first to God before you give yourself, before you give the government, before you're right, that's taxes, that you say, you know, God, part of this is yours because I wouldn't have this if it wasn't for you. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 says that on the first day of the week, the disciples should set aside part of their income to give to God, to give to the Lord's people. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8 talks about how God loves a cheerful giver. And if you sow generously, you will reap generously, and that you shouldn't give under compulsion or because somebody's, you know, forcing you to give, but you should decide in your heart what you want to give to God. And if you love God, then you shouldn't give with a tight fist. You should give generously. But giving contribution on Sunday, right? We're not collecting contribution, like literally passing plates on Sunday. But that's something that when we pray for contribution, when we mention contribution on Sunday, you want to be engaged with that. You don't want to be one of the people in the room who God has given to, and you're one of the people not giving back, not contributing to the needs of the church. And so, you know, you want to be engaged with contribution by giving contribution. And that's something you need to do from the heart. And so if you're not giving contribution, I strongly urge you to study that out and pray and think about that and figure out what you can give to God. If you, you know, have no income or something, then obviously get advice about it. Figure that out. You know, we want to make wise decisions with our money, but we also want to make spiritual, sacrificial decisions. And so part of being engaged during church is giving contribution as others are doing that as well, that we're giving to God. And, you know, just to be clear too, we have three main contributions. One is the weekly contribution. So when you set up your online giving, weekly is like the regular standard giving that goes to all the general operations of the church, right? Us being able to meet somewhere on Sunday, communion, and right, our staff members, all that stuff, that's the weekly contribution. We have an offering for the poor. That's separate. That goes to Hope Worldwide and local benevolence. There's members of our church that get help with their rent or get help with food from the offering for the poor. Hope Worldwide is funded by it. When there's hurricanes and stuff, we send money from that fund. So you want to give the weekly, but maybe also you want to give a little bit each week to the offering for the poor. And then every year, once a year, we take up a special missions contribution. And that's a special offering that goes to support about 50 different ministries around the world. And that's something really important as well. So just to touch on that. Another part of being engaged on Sundays is really giving our hearts and our minds during communion. Communion is incredibly important. It's something Jesus asked us to do, set an example for us to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 29, you know, and I'm not reading any of these. I'm quoting some a little bit. I encourage you to take a picture of this and study this out. Maybe do a quiet time on one of these each day this week or something. But in 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about really making sure that we examine ourselves when we take communion. And that's really important because we're participating in Jesus's body and his blood. That's what it represents. And communion is really meant to be a weekly reminder that engages our senses, our heart, our mind, of why we do what we do, that Jesus is our Lord, that he died for us, and that really helps us find the motivation to live another week faithfully. Taking his body reminds us that we're part of a body, that we're not a solo Christian, but we're communing. This is something we do as a community, as part of communion as well. We're connecting with Jesus, but also with his body, the church. And so we also want to make sure we're really examining ourselves when we take communion every week to not just think about something else or wonder, hey, it's kind of taken a while for the next song to start or whatever. That's purposeful. We want to give you a couple minutes to examine yourself because the Bible says to do that. You don't want to drink judgment on yourself. It says by just taking it mindlessly, heartlessly, or without repentance, right? That's part of taking communion is, you know, I try to think about, man, how am I doing spiritually this week? And maybe confessing anything as I pray there to God that I've fallen short in this week and thanking him for forgiving me and kind of recommitting myself to him and repenting and really trying to appreciate what Jesus did for me, the decision I made for him to be Lord of my life. And that communion is all a reminder and a refresher of that. So let's really be engaged when we take communion. And then there's the sermon. We see, you know, in the early church, this practice of coming together and hearing the word of God preached. And so, you know, we want to really pay attention during the sermon. It could be 30 to 40 minutes. And I know that it can be hard to pay attention to something that long, but we really got to avoid the temptation to check our phones, to check social media, to check out, but really sit there with the mindset of the word of God is being preached. This is the standard for my life. What does God want me to hear today? To have a learner's heart. right? To have that James chapter one heart where we don't hear the word and then walk away forgetting what we just heard, but we're hearing the sermon and we're taking something away from it. So when there's a sermon every midweek, every Sunday, whatever it is, really try to hone in on what is one thing I could take away from this tonight, or what are two things, or right? Maybe the whole sermon doesn't apply to you. You don't need to try to put the whole sermon into practice, but maybe what is the one thing God needed you to hear tonight? Maybe it's something about your heart. Maybe it's something about your character. Maybe it's something he's trying to inspire you to do, or to challenge you to stop doing, or right, or something to put into practice in your life. But for you to really be an active listener, and you know, it helps so much too when somebody's preaching to, you know, look at us and to be engaged and to maybe say something like, you know, amen, or great point, or whatever it is, not to be obnoxious or whatever, but, you know, just to be an active listener. And I think that will help you, you know, and I know studies have shown that taking notes helps you retain more than not taking notes, even if you never look at them again. And so I think best practices, we should all show up Wednesdays, Sundays, ready to really be engaged during the lesson, because we want to learn from God's word. And so bring, you know, some form of note-taking with you, a notebook or something on your, some file on your phone. Bring a Bible with you, right? A physical Bible, maybe even bring that with you, that you're putting your phone away just for 40 minutes and you've got a Bible, you've got a notebook, and you're taking notes. You're reading along with the scriptures and you're really engaging with the sermon. You're, you know, you're circling stuff you want to go back to, or that you think was really a good point for you. And, you know, we're really trying to engage with it. And then after service is over, maybe try to talk with at least one person about what you each learned from the message, what you're each taking away from the message. You know, and even some of you, I think it'd be so great to go talk to whoever did the lesson about it, what you learned from it. Ask them, hey, what has helped you with this? Or what verses would you say for me to study out? Or just thanking them. And, you know, I'm not saying that just for me, but even when we have guest speakers and stuff, go engage with them, right? We're your fellow brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ, right? So we're not, you know, some extra special person or whatever. We're just part of the body. So, you know, after we preach it, it helps a lot to dialogue and to talk with people about what they got from it. And so let's really be engaged with the sermon. You know, another part of coming together Sunday is the fellowship, right? Service is about to start, or service just ended, and we're in fellowship. And really what that word means is, you know, comradeship. We're in relationship, and we're getting time to be friends, to be family, to talk with each other. We really want it to be spiritual fellowship. You know, I think about, you know, church being a place where people experience Jesus, a Jesus-like atmosphere. And that to me is fruits of the Spirit, that people experience fruits of the Spirit when they come to church. What are those? Love, joy, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, right? That when people come to meetings of the body, the fellowship is loving, it's inviting, it's accepting, it's engaging, right? That we're getting into good conversations, that we're getting to know each other. If we notice new people, we pull them in. They don't feel like an outsider. They become part of the community. They make a new friend that day because of you, right? That we really try to have meaningful, purposeful fellowship. And there's so many go-to questions to help, right? What, you know, how did you end up here? Or what are you studying in school? Where did you grow up? How was that? What was your family like growing up? Why are you studying that? What are you hoping to do after you graduate? You know, and then if it's another disciple you're getting to know, how'd you become a Christian? What are some of the lessons God has taught you? What have you been learning in your quiet times recently? What did you get from the sermon? If it's a new person there, you know, not a disciple, you could ask them, hey, who invited you here? How'd you come? What did you think about it? Did you grow up going to church? Where'd you grow up? What are you studying? Same things, right? What did you think of the message? And, you know, there's so many great conversations we can get in without wondering, well, what do I talk about? Asking questions is a great way to go. And so, you know, let's really engage in the fellowship and be building relationships during that time. You know, I'll rush quickly through the end of this here. You know, I think some other important parts of being engaged is using your gifts and serving. You know, that at meetings of the body, you're thinking, well, who can I help? Who can I be a friend to? If you could sing, you're part of the worship team, or you help with handing stuff out or set up or whatever it is, but you're there to give and to serve and to use your gifts. Another part of being engaged is bringing people, right? That we're thinking about, wow, who can I bring with me, right? That we're inviting people to church. And it's really at church where people can see Jesus. Jesus said, by your love for one another, the world will know you're my disciples. Well, if they don't see our love for one another, they won't know we're his disciples. And so we got to bring people. And I really would encourage you all to think every Sunday, is there someone I can bring with me throughout the week, to have that mindset, to have that heart? Can I bring somebody with me? Who can I find to bring with me? That we're meeting people, we're inviting people, we're trying to bring someone with us. And, you know, I know there's other meetings of the body. I'll skip these for now. Midweek, a lot of the same things apply. I do just want to say really quickly about midweek. We're going to be doing midweeks on Zoom all semester. We're really trying to teach on a lot of really helpful topics. Time management, great schoolwork and doing well in your academics, and how to lead some of the studies and different things like that. But, you know, we really want to make sure that, you know, you really are engaged during midweek. And so trying your best to set aside midweek where you're not doing something else, you're not watching a show, you're not working, you're not doing homework, you're not checking your phone. But I would encourage as many of us as possible to set aside an hour for midweek as a really special time where you set up your computer, you've got your Bible, you're ready to take notes, and you go, you know what? I'm really here to learn, to focus. You got your camera on, and let's really try to be as engaged as possible during midweeks. Obviously, there's Friday nights to build relationships and friendships together, which is really important. Our discipling relationships, Bible talks, which we're not doing a lot of right now, but we'll get them going again. Retreats and conferences, and then obviously all the other times that the body spends time together. You know, I hope this was helpful for you tonight. It's so important that we're devoted to the body. I hope you saw that. And it's even more important that when we're there, we're engaged. We want to have an engaging devotion. I could say that I've been miraculously changed by the body, by my times with the body. There have been times where being devoted has been easy and times where it's been hard, but it's always been beneficial. When it was hard for me to be there, I was glad I went. When it was easy to be there, I was glad I went, obviously, but it's always been beneficial. And so let's really be devoted, but let's not just be devoted. Let's be engaged. So that's the end of the lesson. I'm going to hand it over to Caleb.